Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Holy Spirit, come. We invite you here, God. And we want your heart. We want to hear your heart. So I ask you just fill my mouth with your heart. I ask that you open up the hearts of your people sitting there, Lord, in front of me. That you'd open their hearts to receive and their minds to comprehend what you have for them. I bless this time. I love you. Love you, love you. So, what are you thinking? It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Even you know, pardon? To me? Yes. So, it doesn't matter if you've ever birthed a child. We women have the that nurturing spirit in us, that nurturing part of God in us that wants to mother, even if it's a pet or a plant or a child or another person. The older I get, that I find I'm mothering people my age. You just have that in you. But the Lord's really been speaking to me about birthing. And when I Bob asked me to speak today, that was the first thing I heard, was that the Lord wants to talk about birthing. And men can birth also. That is universal to all of us. What you're thinking, you are going to birth. If you think about it enough, and if you think about it, if you nurture that thought, if you water it, if you start feeding it, you're going to birth something. So what are you thinking? You know, most of us aren't aware of our thought life. We're certainly aware we have one. But if you think about it in a full day, in just one day, how much information your brain is taking in. You're taking in colors, sights, smells, sounds, touch. You know, all of your senses are firing, and you're having to assimilate all of that information. And what do you do with it? So some of it's negative. Some of it might be negative coming at you, and some of it's positive. Some of it's makes you feel good, and some of it makes you feel not so good, especially if you, all that good food you're going to have today, you ate too much, it looked good at first, then you're going to not feel so good. So it can be a mix, right? So we have to do something. Our mind is always wanting to do something, needing to do something with all of the information filtered into it. I do, for those of you that don't know, I do inner healing, which is healing of the heart, the mind, will, and emotions. It's a spiritual journey into letting the Lord set right negative thinking, hurts of the heart, and misconceptions of the mind, lies that we believe. And I've been doing this for a long time now, and have thousands of hours of one-on-one inner healing ministry with people, and I've learned a lot about the mind and how we think and how we think we think and what we're not thinking, how the mind processes. And everybody's different, but yet everybody's the same. So what are you thinking today? Most of us aren't aware. We're aware of our conscious thoughts, but we're not aware of our subconscious thoughts. It's our subconscious. It's what we do with the conscious thoughts. Will then kind of go into the subconscious. And you have like two levels of thought processes going on. You have your conscious awareness of the immediate things going on around you. And like right now, I'm processing all the way you're all looking at me. Some of you are wanting to already go to sleep and check out. Some of you are like, this is good. Some of you are like, I'll wait and see. You know, so my mind is like putting all that. So that's a conscious thing going on right there. Then there's a subconscious level. That subconscious level are things that have been stewing a while. Those things are we're not so aware of those things unless we sit and quiet ourselves, or unless that subconscious thought gets loud enough that it's going to start making noise to you. That's the thought life that we need to get in touch with. That is the one. That's the level that we need to go deeper into, looking at what we really believe, what we're feeling, what we're thinking. So you are planted, we're like, we get these little seeds put in us. They're like seeds of thought. So if somebody offends you, and it's somebody close to you, and it's a serious offense, it's okay to feel that offense for a bit. But when we hold that offense, we don't give it to Jesus, so we don't act on it right away. If we start holding it and entertaining it, that offense will slip into our subconscious, and we're going to put it in a drawer of offense. And then the next time someone does that, we're going to slip that into that drawer. We're going to keep adding to that drawer. That drawer will, when it's packed full, is going to birth, right? That seed is going to birth something, and it's not going to be pretty. That offense will grow. A spirit of offense comes, partners with you, and grows that seed. If we're not aware that we're doing that, then it starts, that subconscious is being fed, and pretty soon it comes out into the conscious. Another thing it will do is also it will start affecting you physically. Negativity will affect you physically as well as positive will. So our bodies will start to, that negative thought, when it gets strong enough, your body has to do something with it. And it's going to hold it somewhere. And that's where we start stress. That's when, why they say, doctors will say about 85% or more of our diseases are emotionally based. It's because there's that thought, that subconscious thought process going on. Your body is holding it somewhere, and it's not good. It also can change the physical chemistry of your brain. And your brain is created to wire in a positive way. The way we're made in God's image, right? So he's a positive thinker. God is. And so we're wired to think like him, but when we start holding this negative stuff, it actually will change the physical chemistry of our brain, and our synapses won't snap right. They're off on some all other journey that they've made into negativity. So now it becomes an emotional, a physical, and a spiritual issue. So that's the birthing process, and eventually it's going to come out of you, right? It's going to come out of you. Are you one that has explosive anger? And you don't know why. Don't know where it came from. That's because there's a drawer in there that's stuffed, and when it gets overflowing, it has to come out somewhere. Are you one that has over-bubbling joy all the time, like Suanna? Bubbling with joy. It's because the Lord's filling that box in her, that drawer in her. And she's letting him. So what are you thinking? Sometimes, you know, as much as I've done this, and I'm training my mind to take care of those negative things quickly, I'm training myself to be aware of my thought life. I'm asking Holy Spirit to partner with me and expose things that I shouldn't be thinking to me, because we do it. We numb out, and we do it, and we don't even know we're doing it. need to be aware of what we're doing. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." You can't get away from it. Whatever you're thinking, good or bad, that's who you are. That's who that's who you think you are. If you think I have a lot of negativity, I used to have a lot of negativity about me, thoughts about me. Not good enough, unloved, unworthy, not ever going to do anything for Jesus, nobody wanted me as a friend. You know, it was a bunch of negative stuff, and I lived that way most of my life. It wasn't until inner healing. And I started to clean that out. And I don't have those thoughts now. There's peace there. And so retrained my mind. So I got the healing, right? I got the Lord's perspective and I got healing, but then I consciously retrained my mind. And when I hear that thought come to me, I tell it to go. In Jesus' name. The Bible also says that if you resist the enemy, he'll flee from you. Why are we so compliant? You know why? It feels good to think about negative things. Honestly, doesn't it? You guys, is anybody else like that? It feels good to think negative things to your flesh. I mean, not now our spiritual wisdom and our religious self and everything is going to say, oh, no, I don't feel that. No, really? Because I know it feels good to feel sorry for yourself sometimes. It feels good to be angry sometimes. It feels good to be self-righteous. It feels good to judge another person. Our flesh is fleshy, right? It's fleshy. But when we start turning that around with our intentional pursuit of holiness and righteousness, that begins to change. And now it doesn't feel good. What happens is when you press into the fear of the Lord, and you part of a component of the fear of the Lord is hating what God hates. God hates those negative sins because he knows they'll destroy you, or they'll destroy someone you love. And so that negativity, that negative thinking is something he hates. It also is, if you're thinking thoughts like I had about negative things about me, it's also a direct challenge to who God says I am. So I was constantly challenging God, the truth. I couldn't receive the truth. So now, the way I've worked with the Lord with inner healing and taken an active, proactive stance towards changing my default, the way I think, I don't have those negative thoughts. Rare. It's rare. And when I catch myself thinking it, I'm quick to, you have to go. Because you're a liar. You know? But we're the ones, you know, we partner with the liar. Our flesh is quick to do that. A big reason that our fleshy side is because of the sin nature, but also because our emotions are attached. So feelings are attached to thoughts. We'll attach a thought to the feeling. And so the feeling, it seems like the feeling justifies the lie, justifies what feels true. It feels true. So it felt true to me that I was not good enough. That felt real true to me. I am not good enough. Not good enough for God to use me. You're not good enough for people to love me. You're not, you know, just a general not good enough. That felt true because of the way I had been treated. A lot of you can relate to that. We grow up and it's not, we don't have that, so that silver spoon doesn't stay in our mouth very long. We are fed negativity from others because of their own woundedness. Wounded people wound people. And so that negativity will hit my heart, hurt. It feels true because somebody else just treated me the same way. Somebody else just treated me. And after a while, that feeling feels so true that it's hard for me to think anything else. So I just receive it. Once I receive it, I have planted a seed in me that is going to be fed every time somebody treats me that way. Every single time. And so then I start watering it because I've agreed with it. And I'm actually then, what happens is you actually start not being surprised when somebody treats you that way. I would even expect it. I would expect it. So what a bunch of hooey. You know, that's a lie. That's a lie. So when I turned that around, I didn't see those people that treated me that way the same way. It changed my perspective on how I saw them. My well-being was not determined by them anymore. My value and worth, they didn't have the power to hold that anymore. And so I could see them with different eyes and just say, I'm so sorry that you feel that way, because your heart must be hurting. That, you know, you're judging me or you're treating me that way is because of your own woundedness. And I didn't own it anymore. And so now I don't even see it happening most of the time. If somebody in the past their actions would hit me like that, like, ow, is anymore, it's like, I don't notice it. Or it's a, huh, and I go on. So it doesn't have, it's lost its power. So when you give that seed a place, you've given it power. So what are you thinking? Are you aware of your thought life? How you think about yourself, how you think about God, how you think about your mate or your best friend or your church? Other Christians, have you guys noticed on Facebook? Oh my word. You can get on the most benign statement that somebody makes and people are all over it. And start judging that person, condemning them. They get politics pulled into it. And then they start the prejudice arise. I mean, it's crazy. And most of it is Christians. We're a very critical group. That spirit of religion is strong. It wants to judge. It wants to condemn. It wants to punish. It wants to self-elevate. We should be the most loving, accepting, kind people to each other. Facebook, oh my, it tells a real story. I just get on those sites just for fun sometimes to look at the what they're saying. It's like hilarious, but it's so sad at the same time. I mean, what's prompting that? All she did was pick up a stray puppy, you know, and they're like all over it with all this negative stuff. Somebody's saying, well, she's buying the wrong kind of food for it, or she should have given it a bath before she took the picture, or, you know, it goes on and on. There's no end to it. It's like, have you, anybody else read those? Do you get on there just for fun to see what people are going to say? Because it's like, it's crazy. The election was a hoot. All right, so... so we need to turn this ship around. In Ephesians 4:22 through 24, it says that regarding your previous way of life, you put off your old self, completely discard your former nature. If you're a Christian right now, who you were is your previous life, right? That's not who you are now. But it doesn't feel, you don't feel any difference sometimes. So we let our feelings determine our truth. when feelings will betray you, which is being corrupted. So your former way of life, your previous way of life, you put it off, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires. That's those subconscious thoughts. And be continually, so you put those things off, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. Wouldn't you like somebody to just zap you right now and have that? Like, Rochelle, we need to invent a pill for that. Give people a, you can take this little pill, and all of a sudden you've got a renewed mind. How amazing. It would be. Number 24, verse 24. And put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image. You're God-like. That's what that means. You're God-like. You're like him in his nature. In the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in the way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. We need to get and embrace the truth of who we are. We are righteous. We are righteous. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. He paid a high price so that Papa could see you as righteous. And see me as righteous. He paid a high price. High price. Get that in your mind right now. You see Jesus standing in front of you, and he's all bloody, just like he's been on the cross. Beaten, oozing, skin hanging. And he's holding out his arms to you. Just walk up to him and let him hold you. Because he's going to pull you inside of him and you're going to come out the other side. You are passed through the blood of Christ. It is so purifying that when you get the revelation of that, you see your old nature fall on that side of him that paid the price. And then you turn around and you're glowing. He's in his renewed body and you are glowing just like him. That's a now thing. If we got that, if we embraced the truth of that, the power of God's word, we would take care of our thought life. We would not let it destroy us or control us. We would have victory over the flesh because we're telling the enemy no, and he has to go when we say no. We are so compliant. We have such a compliant nature. And we feed into it because it feels good. Well, that feeling is going to destroy you. Or it's going to grow you. Depending on which feeling you tap into. What you start looking at and beholding. I'll never forget that vision. Jesus said to me when he passed me through him like that. He said, Londa, that is what I've done for you. Now you walk in it. So I'm going to challenge you today to walk in it. Walk in righteousness. You are not a pawn. You choose what you're going to think about. You choose what you're going to act on. You choose to clean out those drawers. There is no excuse. There's no excuse. You have Jesus. He has empowered you. He's given you. Jesus came so that Holy Spirit could live in you. God in you hates sin. and he will empower you to stand against it. You can't do it on your own. That's why Jesus came. And then that's why Holy Spirit stayed. He came and stayed. We still have God on the earth. God is still on the earth. And he lives in you. You're his house. We need to act like it. Like who we know we are. We are not a little hut. We're a sturdy, strong tower, a house that can stand in any storm and not get shaken. What does it look like? I had to write this one down because I knew I wouldn't remember it. What does it look like when we're dwelling in a shining place of glory? So you just got that vision. You got glory all over you now, right? You're glorious because Jesus says you are. His blood purified you. God gave him authority to do that. The Father gave him authority. You are righteous and holy. So you are glorious. What does it look like when we're dwelling in the shining place of glory? It is a place of being one with God. It's a place of knowing that you are one with him. You're one. John 17:20 through about 24 says that Jesus says, God, Father, I thank you that I am one with them. You are one with me. They are one with us. One. You're one in the Spirit with God. You know that? You have to know that. You have to know who you are. Because when you know who you are, you're going to act like it. Right? We're going to act like it. The more confident we are, we're going to know, we're going to act like it. It's going to manifest. The same as negative things have to manifest. They will. If you are an angry person, that anger is going to manifest and you're going to hurt people around you and yourself. But if you're a person full of love and confidence in God and you know that you're righteous, you're going to be righteous. It's a place of being. It's not just a head game. You have to be. The scripture says, be righteous. I've done that for you. Be. We owe that to him. We owe that to him. To act like we are. And the knowledge of who we are, who he is in us, is powerful. It's powerful. We are not, you know, the Bible says that there's a scripture that talks about it. Don't be like the dog that returns to its vomit. We return to sin, the same old sin over and over. We go around the same mountain over and over and over. We are habitually are stuck in a place of struggle and addiction. I don't care what it is. You know, y'all been there. And we need to stop it. Need to stop it. It takes discipline. It takes intentional pursuit, intentional abiding in the presence of God. We are not defined by our trials. Too often we identify ourselves by our struggles and what we perceive to be failures. We have a tendency to give the enemy permission to speak into us in those moments. We listen because he is tapping into our insecurities. The enemy taps into your feelings because he knows that that feeling feels true. It will send a message to you, and it will feel true. You have to be wise to his schemes and reject it. Now, I'm not talking about denying your feelings. You need to give them to Jesus. If they're negative, you need to take them to him, lay them on the altar, confess them, and ask them to give you something in exchange. He loves that. He loves that. That's a sacrifice. He sees that as a sacrifice. because you're giving up something that feels tangible to you for something that is of kingdom value that doesn't always feel so tangible to us. But that needs to be more real. That needs to be more real to us. We need to just think of that Holy Spirit in you. What does that look like? What's that feel like? We should be able to tap into all the things that He is in us. Our confidence, our strength. He's our peace, our love, our joy, our goodness. We should be a merciful people because He is. As He is, so are we, if we allow it. We listen because He's tapping into our insecurities. Those are places where we have not taken on the mind of Christ. So, use those places when you get poked somewhere with anger, or you get poked with jealousy, or you get poked with not good enough, or you get poked with fear. Use it as an opportunity. Oh, thank you, Lord, for raising that up to my conscious level. Because now, I have no excuse. I need to deal with this. I invite God to judge my heart. I lay me on the altar. Judge it. I'll go before His courtroom. Judge me. Because I'm so comfortable with me sometimes that I don't know what's going on in there. For good or bad. Sometimes I have trouble flushing up the good because I'm so busy with life, right? Ask the Lord to help you. So I know a lot of you might be freaked out by that, and that's okay. But ask the Lord to help you find your subconscious thoughts that have taken root. Subconscious seeds or drawers that you're filling, or however you want to use it, ask the Lord to expose those to you. Just give Him permission, because He will so be gentle, and there is no condemnation. You are forgiven. It's done. However, we need to act like it. We need to be that person, and we need to be it in a place of knowing that we can. We are not victims. That's a whole nother subject, but we are not victims. We need to stop being a victim of the enemy. He plays with us. He toys with us. If he can keep me thinking that I am not worthy, and no one, you know, that my value and worth is in the hands of mankind, I would not be up here speaking to you. It will keep you from your destiny. It will keep you from every prophetic word that's ever been spoken over you. All that negative stuff, the enemy laughs at us because we're so gullible. We're a toy in his hands. I hate him. I know you all do. But I hate what he sees, because I see on a daily basis the destruction to the heart that he does. He has no right to you unless you give it to him. He has no right to me unless I give it to him. So you need to take it back. That's what he's stolen from you. Stolen your peace, or your well-being, or your love, or your whatever. Our flesh, or our self-focus, our fleshiness is self-focused. That's why it's fleshy. That's why it feels good to feel bad. It does. Sometimes it does. makes you, if you rise up in anger, it makes you feel powerful. And it's you can control the situation. Then you feel safe. So it's self. If you rise up in fear, you're going to, if I stay ready for fear, I'm going to expect bad things to happen. And when they happen, then I'm ready. So it's all about the I, fleshiness is. Our flesh or self-focused nature will, if allowed, keep us from walking in the revelation of our new nature of righteousness. If we believe we're a sinner, we'll act like one. If we believe we're mean, we're going to act like it. If we believe that we're wonderful and all that, we'll act like that, and nobody appreciate that either. You can have good thoughts about you, but they're like not healthy, you know, taken to the extreme. Any emotion or belief or feeling taken to the extreme is not good unless it's joy and peace, love. Those things, go for it. But if it's about you, be careful. If you think you're wonderful, be careful. Because you are wonderful, but it's got to be in balance there. I'm wonderfulness. We have been given a seed of righteousness. Our minds will fight that truth, and the sin, if we don't renew our mind will fight that seed of righteousness, the righteousness that Jesus has done for it. It will fight it. And when the enemy can cause you to fight it, and he can cause you to walk in anything that is other than the nature of God, then he is mocking God. Because he's like, see that one? They don't even know who they are. I've blinded them so much, they don't even know. Look how I use them to hurt others in your fold. That's how he is. We don't want to partner with that. We want to say no. Because you have the power. Your power of choice is the greatest power that God's given you, and you choose. You choose what you believe. You choose what you're going to embrace. You choose what you're going to birth. So what are you thinking? Get in touch with it. My husband tells me that women can think of a gazillion things at once, but men have one box at a time. They pull out. I would encourage you, pull out just one box at a time, because sometimes we girls get too busy and we're multitasking and we forget to settle our spirits and ask Holy Spirit, help me to see what I'm thinking. Help me. I partner with him on everything. You cannot do this on your own. You cannot be holy without the holiness of God in you manifesting. You cannot be righteous. That's right standing with God. You're gonna walk off the path if God in you is not causing you to walk, partnering with you on that path. Let him empower God to help you walk through this life. With a clarity of mind, a one, no conflict between you and God. Wouldn't that be an amazing place? No conflict. It's not about who's in charge, or I God's given me a mind and I need to use it and plowing through in effort in striving. He wants you to plow through in his strength. It's way easier. What time does this end? 12? I just want to read one more verse to you, and then I want to invite you to come. And Russ, is Russ still here? Could you just do keys for me? In 1 Peter 1, for you've been born again, You've been born again. That is reborn from above. Think about that. You're reborn from above. Your kingdom, you're spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purposes. Not of seed which is perishable, but from that which is imperishable and immortal. You are immortal. That is, through the living and everlasting word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word, the good news of salvation, which is preached to you. The flesh withers. It cannot. It will fall off. We can speed up that process by giving Holy Spirit place to renew our minds. So, I'd like to give you a place. If you have something that you're struggling with, that you feel like enough is enough, I don't want to go back to that vomit or around that mountain, or I want to stop and I want to stand in righteousness, knowing that I am shining like Jesus. I just want to invite you to come up, and I invite the healing team to come up. They're trained in mind renewal, and so they'll help you with that. And don't be shy, because you know what? This is an opportunity for you to have victory. So I just want to invite you to start coming up. And let's be bold in our pursuit. Let's be confident in who we are. Yeah. Come on up. So I just want to pray this prayer over you, and you're all free to leave then. Happy Mother's Day. Go give your moms a hug and your each other a hug, because you're going to birth some great things. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.